A young friend and keen analyst of social change made the observation that physicians seem a bit in shock when it comes to the contemporary state of our profession, as if suffering a grief reaction. She referenced the stages of grief elucidated by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Last week, I mentioned an anecdote from a recent essay in the Journal of the American Medical Association in which a medical school dean asked the incoming class for a show of hands by those who had been advised by at least one physician not to go into medicine. And 4 out of 5 hands went up across the room. The profession of medicine is in a beleaguered state as the environment and framework in which we practice shifts around us. The solo practice, worthy of a Norman Rockwell painting, has become a fossil. Physician-run group practices are also now on the endangered species list, as hospitals and corporations, insurance companies, and Wall Street investors purchase or develop physician groups. At the end of April this year, Forbes magazine reported, quote, "In the United States, where healthcare faces sweeping changes accelerated by the Affordable Care Act, private equity investors have been making serial acquisitions of smaller medical practices. In particular, private equity funds are assembling groups of practitioners, both in traditional hospital-centered specialties in such areas as radiology and neonatology, as well as in the emerging fields of hospital-focused specialization like neurology and general surgery. Once upon a time, physicians commanded almost total control over who we worked with, what kind of equipment we needed, how we wanted to spend our day. Now doctors are among many employees, not just of hospitals and nonprofit organizations, and not only for-profit entities, but finance capital itself." The American Medical Association last November emphasized the impact of these changes upon physicians by adopting a set of guiding principles for physicians entering into contractual and employment agreements. In order to protect the paramount responsibility to patients and the best interest of patients, the AMA saw a potential conflict of interest arising between loyalty to our patients and the loyalty demanded by our employers. That the American Medical Association took the time to address the unique challenges to professionalism, as they put it, seemed to me a fair gauge of the pressures upon physicians brought by the sweeping changes like the ones Forbes magazine described. These pressures will likely intensify unless profit-seeking itself is removed from healthcare, removed from caregiving. What's more, to throw the sweeping changes toward the profitization of caregiving into full reverse remains entirely practical. A bill before Congress, the Expanded and Improved Medicare for All Act, would ban for-profit medicine. This week, Professor Gerald Friedman, economist of the University of Massachusetts, presented the findings of his analysis of the legislation at a congressional briefing. Not only would profiteering be removed from our healthcare system, upgrading the nation's Medicare program and expanding it to cover people of all ages would yield more than $500 billion in efficiency savings in its first year of operation, enough to pay for high-quality, comprehensive health benefits for all residents of the United States at a lower cost to most individuals, families, and businesses. With a solution at hand, perhaps it is not too much to invoke Kubler-Ross's paradigm of denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance as an analogy, for the societal moment seems to me precipitous. Yet for medicine as a profession, although the diagnosis is grave and life-altering, I believe the prognosis is excellent. How we will carry on in the interest of our patients will ultimately win out. 4 out of 5 students may have been warned to stay away from medicine, yet they chose our profession anyway. Physicians and physicians-to-be remain profoundly motivated by the service we perform to our fellow human beings. That spirit will help us lead our system to the kind of real reform we need.